You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Jeff Vanderstelt. Did I get your name right correctly there, Jeff?
That's correct.
Good. Well, we're joined by Jeff Vanderstelt, who is the author of a new book called Saturate, Being Disciples of Jesus in the Everyday Stuff of Life. I love this book. I love the concept here. We've been spending an entire year through our radio ministry here in 2016 talking about Jesus. And this is a great perspective on how Jesus affects every aspect of our life. So why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about the inspiration for this book? What was the motivation for writing it?
Well, it backs up into starting a new church in 2004 in Tacoma, Washington, that was called Soma, where we wanted to start a church that would expect to develop everybody to be a disciple of Jesus who could make disciples of Jesus. And as we did that, we learned how to really mobilize people into everyday life on mission. And by doing that, we also found there were a lot of people around the country that wanted more help on that too. So we began to train and teach around the country. And eventually people just said, you need to put this in a book so people can start to share it with others. So that was really the reason for it, was how can we better equip the church to see everyday life as the place in which Jesus intends us to make disciples?
I think that is one of those big crux in the matter of our culture today, where we often relegate Jesus to church or to spiritual activities, but we don't see how being drawn into Christ, the more we look to Christ, the more we become like him, the more we capture his heart, the more that starts to impact every other aspect of our life, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think in a lot of ways we relegate discipleship to a Sunday event or a classroom or a curriculum, instead of discipleship being really a process of leading people to submit all of life to Jesus Christ, and really seeing absolutely every aspect of our life as the place in which discipleship was meant to take place.
I love the title of the book. You know, there's a lot of talk in our culture today about saturation evangelism, that it is not just something that happens on Sunday morning behind a pulpit, but it's something that is happening on a daily basis. And this is really the emphasis of making disciples and building into the life of those disciples a mindset that takes them outside of the church as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, even in the book, I realize that a lot of people don't even know Jesus that well, or know the gospel that well, or don't know how to like apply the gospel to their own lives. So a portion of the book is given to, do you really know the gospel? Do you know, understand it has to do with your past, present, and future salvation? And if you really believe it, do you understand how it would change everything in life, not just your afterlife? So that's a big part of it, is really understanding that Jesus intends to transform everything and see everything exists for his glory in your life. And then a big part of it then after that is, and how would you live if you believe that? Because everything we do comes out of what we believe. And so really working out, what does the gospel do? What does the fellowship of Jesus produce in normal stuff, like the rhythms of life of eating and drinking and celebrating and resting and working and just the stuff that we spend our life doing? How does that actually get transformed if we really believe the gospel? And how would we see that as a means by which we could lead others to follow Christ in the everyday stuff of life, versus becoming a Christian means I join a church or I go to a Sunday school class or I start a Bible study? Those things may all be important, but most of the world doesn't understand what it means to follow Jesus because they're not seeing Christians who love Jesus being disciples who make disciples in their neighborhood, in their community, in their workplace, over a dinner table, at a restaurant, whatever it may be. So a big part of what we do in the book is really unpack, what is the gospel? How does it change me? What does it look like to have a new identity in light of it? And how would I live in the everyday rhythms with a group of people as a disciple maker if I really believed all of this? So that's really what it takes you through, and even helps you form a thinking on how to look at discipleship very differently than maybe a lot of Christians have viewed it.
I think it's such a great work and such a great means of understanding in our culture today, to see that really what we have in our culture today is a need to grow closer to Jesus. And by getting closer to Jesus, a lot of these things already start to fall into place. But this is what Jesus called us when he said, even to his disciples in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's interesting because even the command, go and make disciples, could be translated, while you're going, make disciples. And the command in the Great Commission is make disciples, not to go. It assumes we're going. It assumes that we're living life amongst the people who don't know Jesus. And so, therefore, the everyday stuff of life is the place, and the command is to make disciples while you're there in those places. And I'm more and more convinced, as I've followed Jesus now for about 26 years, 27 years, I'm more and more convinced that the more I grow in my affections for Christ, the more I want others to know Christ. And the more that I come to know his love for me and how he transforms everything in my life, the more I'm convinced it's really good news that everybody needs to know about. And so much of our discipleship effectiveness is completely connected to us being a disciple, is being changed by Jesus already in our own life. And the more that he's changing us, the more we want to talk about that, because we talk about what we experience change us. We talk about what we love most. Those are the things that just overflow out of our heart. And many Christians, unfortunately, from my experience, have not experienced a lot of transformative work from Jesus in a lot of the areas of life. And I just wonder if it's because they haven't learned to submit those areas of life to Jesus. They think Jesus cares only about, you know, Sunday, or about my Bible reading time, or, you know, a Wednesday night small group. But he actually cares about absolutely everything, and he wants us to learn how to submit absolutely everything to him, so he actually can bring transformation to all of our life, which brings greater joy and greater fulfillment, greater abundance, and greater glory ultimately to him.
Now, you've been a pastor for many years, and you've been leading in the church and teaching people to become disciples of Jesus, and therefore to go out and make disciples. What have you learned is the key aspect of capturing someone's heart? Where do you start to really capture somebody's heart for fulfilling that Great Commission?
Well, I think the thing that captures people's hearts the most is the love of God expressed for us in Christ Jesus. So just continuing to preach the truths of the gospel of Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, his present intercession on our behalf before the Father, just the incredibly good news that we were enemies of God, and by grace, through faith, we have been made children of God through Christ, that we were once dead, now we're made alive. We were once in darkness, now we're in light. And just continuing to teach the amazing truths of the gospel that have changed everything for our life is, for me, the greatest motivation there ever was. So Jesus says the reason why we would obey his commandments is because we love him. And 1 John says the reason why we love him is because he first loved us when he had no reason to in terms of us. There was nothing in us that made him love us. It was because God is love, and he expressed his love to us who were not objects of much deserving credit. we didn't merit it at all. And so when we understand the unmerited nature of God's love and affection, and we understand it's grace that saved us and that we don't deserve any of it, the more that we become aware of that, the great gift of God in Christ, the more motivated we are out of love for Christ to not only obey him, but to call others to know him and obey him as well. Because we start to think, how could anybody not want this? How could anybody not know this? We've got to make sure everybody knows this is the greatest news in the entire universe. And so I think once the body of Christ gets that, then we become more consumed with affection for Christ, which drives us to obedience to Christ. The thing I've learned is whatever people are most affectionate about is what they're most affected by. And unfortunately, most people are, if we're not careful in the church, are affectionate about three steps to a better life or five principles to have a better family. And it's like, yeah, those are ways of applying wisdom. But if at the center of it isn't the love of God expressed for us in Christ Jesus, if it isn't the gospel, then it will not have lasting motivation. But the gospel is so powerful. It changes us, and it mobilizes us, and it empowers us, and it can do what only Jesus can do through us. And so I'm convinced that we've got to keep bringing people back to the gospel, to the center of Jesus Christ as the heart of God's love expressed for us.
I think, building on what you were just saying there, I think that many people have immediate needs, and they have this difficulty seeing how drawing closer to Jesus will meet those needs, because those needs are so important and tangible to them. And there has flourished in our culture today this desire and this really whole market for people to write those how-to books and how to have a successful marriage. But what we've been learning, I think, over the course of this year, looking at Jesus and what you're talking about, is that starting with Jesus is the direct way to affect all of those needs. So often we're drawn away thinking that there's a disconnect. Serving Jesus is one thing, but you know, making my family whole again is a completely different thing. Is that sort of the mindset of a lot of individuals?
Yeah, I find that to be true. And it's interesting that in Ephesians 4:15, Paul says that the way we grow people up into Christ is by speaking the truth in love. And in verse 21, he says that truth is in Jesus. And in other words, Paul is saying, if we're going to grow people up into Christ, and Christ Jesus is the perfect human. So we want to know what it looks like to be the perfect human. We look at Jesus as the perfect human. If we're going to grow up into that perfect humanity, which is Christ, then we have to speak the truth of Christ into the everyday stuff of life. So if you want to know about marriage, you look at Jesus. He's the perfect husband to lay down his life for his wife, that pursued her at the cost of himself, who teaches us that the heart of love is sacrificial, is giving up oneself. And whenever I deal with marriage problems, it's always comes back to pride and selfishness. I mean, at the heart of it is people don't know how to die to themselves and find life through death. But Christ is not only the example of the greatest way to have a perfect marriage, but he's also the means by which we have it. In other words, he forgives us for all the ways in which we failed to love our spouse. He also gives us great motivation to love our spouse. And he says that when we're abiding in him, we'll bear much fruit. John 15, he's the means by which we even can love our spouse in a way that looks like the perfect human, which is Jesus. So we not only we go to him to forgive us and to motivate us, but to empower us and fill us to live the very life. And every single thing in life can be brought back to Jesus, because he's the perfect everything that we need. He's the better son, the better parent, the better spouse, the better worker, the better boss. I mean, you name it. He's the better bread of life. He's everything that we need. And if we get him, then we actually get the source of how to also apply wisdom, because he is the wisdom of God. And so when you want a how-to manual, even Proverbs says, if you want to get wisdom, you've got to first of all get wisdom. But what it's saying is you've got to have the one who is wise to even teach you what is wise. And so Jesus is the wisdom of God. When we get the wisdom of God, he then enables us to walk in wise ways as well. So he is the everything that we need. The forgiveness, the motivation, the empowerment, and even the wisdom to apply whatever steps you might give anybody, they got to be grounded in who Jesus is and what he's done for us.
I want to bring this down to a more personal level now as we've been talking about this. Very helpful and very important material here. How has it affected you? What is your own testimony that this idea of being saturated in the person and the work of Jesus Christ has affected your whole life?
Well, I mean, that could be like, another 20 hours of conversation, of course, but I'll try to simplify it, because what I found is I when I strive in my own strength, I fall apart. And when I live for the approval of man, I feel enslaved. And when I try to do a work without the power of God in me through Christ, then it doesn't accomplish anything at the end. It doesn't last. And so I found when, as not only as a pastor, but as a husband and as a father, I found that I fail so often to live up to the glory of God. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. I don't live the life that he created me to live. And if I don't have Jesus, if I don't have the gospel, I will either learn to live in shame and be ridden with guilt, and therefore I'll either hide because of my shame and try to live a deceptive life where I try to pretend to be better than I really am, or I'll try to perform harder to make up for all the bad things I've done, the guilt that I can't deal with. And neither one of those are life-giving or life-producing. But when I realize that when I fail, I have Christ to go to forgive me. When I succeed, it's because of Christ in me. And so therefore, my entire hope is in the one who is much better than me and did much better than me and will do much better than me. It actually sets me free. And I'm not afraid to to fail. I don't feel the need to pretend. I don't have to cover up and put a front or a facade up as though I've got things together better than I really do. I'm free. And because I'm free, I can then live a life of obedience, not because I have to, but because I get to, which is an entirely different motivational structure. I'm not doing stuff so God will love me. I'm doing it because he does love me. I'm not doing stuff so he'll accept me. I'm doing it because he already has accepted me in Christ. So I feel free. I feel joy. I experience the fruit of the Spirit. It's transformed my life. And what it's enabled me to do then too, because I don't have to then live for the approval of man, is I'm free to live a very bold and courageous life for Jesus, not fearing either one, my failure, or two, people's rejection. I'm really set free to live in a way I wouldn't have before. And in my early years as a Christian, I was afraid to admit I sinned because I didn't know the gospel well enough. I didn't know the grace of God was sufficient for my sin. And then if I worked really hard and did really well, I'd be full of pride thinking it was because of me. And then it undermined everything I was about because I wasn't walking in humility. And so it has changed everything for me. It's changed how I love my wife, how I parent my kids, how I love my neighbors, how I do my work. I mean, absolutely everything now is changed because of Jesus.
We've been talking with Jeff Vanderstelt, who is the author of Saturate, Being Disciples of Jesus in the Everyday Stuff of Life. Jeff, thank you so much for not only writing this book, but demonstrating for us how it's affected your own heart, your own life as well, and how it can have an impact on our listeners as they read it.
Well, you're welcome.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.